We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Let's freaking go. Great win last night for the second time in less than 3 weeks. The Lakers win a thriller against Milwaukee. This time they come back from 19 down. LeBron did not play, just as he didn't in the previous matchup. 19 down in the fourth quarter to win in double overtime. Just a great game. I can't wait to talk about this one with you, D. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. You're listening to the Laker Film Room podcast. Darius, that was just a ton of heart to come back in that game. Game started. We had 4 points with 5 minutes and 7 seconds left in the first quarter. Just could not score. I think we were 2 for 17 to start that game. Got our legs under us a bit at the end of the first quarter, and then made a little push with the bench. And then at the end of the second quarter, Milwaukee pushes it back up to 16. It was one of those, D, where you scratch and claw to get back into it. It's like, oh, we might be down 8 at halftime. This is manageable. Nope. Goes back up to 16, and kind of the same similar tenor throughout the third quarter. Lakers do make a push in the third quarter. Milwaukee pushes back. Again, it gets back up to 19 with like 8:25 left in the game. And Lakers go on a run. They shoot 94% from the free throw line. They rebound their asses off. Rui gets a career high 14 rebounds. AD gets 23 rebounds. Austin Reeves absolutely takes over in the fourth quarter and the overtimes. D'Angelo Russell has a brilliant and maddening game all at the same time, but shows a ton of heart. I can't wait to get to him later in the pod on some of the things he did well that didn't show up in the stat sheet. But Darius, that was such a fun game. The end of that game was such a fun game, but their perseverance in that would have been a very easy game to be like, don't have LeBron. We already beat these guys. They're really good, yada, yada. But they fought through it, and they came back.
Yeah, it was interesting. A name you didn't say there was Darvin Ham. And so one of the things I wanted to make sure that we brought it up is the trust between a coach and the players then rewarding that trust. There's been a bunch of times this season where Darvin has given the team an extra shot in order to try to make a run, and the team has still lost.
Right, keeping the starters in when it's like, we got a back-to-back, it would be easy to sit the guys. Yeah, I see where you're going with that.
Or even like he's played LeBron and AD to start the fourth quarter when that's not their normal rotation, and then the game is still close at the end, and then they have to play extended minutes. And there's been cases of that this season. But multiple players in post-game yesterday discussed Darvin, and just like even AD was saying, coach normally gives us a chance. And he was telling us, and D'Lo was saying, you know, like he was telling us, I think you've got a run in you to get this back. And it didn't look like that. 8:25 left, down by 19, and they just chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And credit the coach for sort of understanding that his team had a push, had one more push in them, because they had made pushes over the course of the game. And it would be easy to be on the other side of that equation and say, it's not our night, right? Like, they had clawed back to get it to within six. Milwaukee makes another push. It's 14 again. They had clawed back to get it to within four. They claw, and then it's 14 again. And it's easy to be on the other side of that, right? And say, it's not our night. We gave it our best. They're just better tonight. And Darvin sort of said, you know what? I think we're going to give ourselves one more chance. And Glenn's team on the other side said, we're going to give it all the way back this time.
Seen that show right? before. One of my favorite NBA shows.
So I just wanted to sort of comment about Darvin first before we even got into the individual performances, because it really was the coach giving his team a chance and then the team paying that off.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why the spirits after the game were what they were, particularly with the coach, because I think that he saw something. This could be a moment for them.
Could be.
Well, in the recap for Lakers.com, I was just like, look, this is a game that has a chance to wear on them from a physical exhaustion standpoint, but be a springboard for them from a mental and spirit standpoint. And they're going to try to carry that mental spirit part with them forward in order to bring their bodies with them. And against Memphis tonight, it's going to be a tricky thing, right? But we will see how that part of it goes. But just like you said, man, like a very hard start. I think they started 1-for-6, 2-for-their-first-12.
I think it was 2-for-17. Yeah. Yeah.
I was pretty happy with the process, particularly on offense. I thought AD was popping. He was going to the right spots. His jumper just wasn't falling. Like, there was a lot of like, we're doing the thing that the game plan says we should be doing, and the shots simply were not falling. And I thought even defensively in the half court, they were doing a lot of things right. It was like in transition where they didn't build the wall enough and Giannis got to the basket. And then Milwaukee's a very good offense. They're going to create and generate shots. And I thought the Lakers, though, over the course of the game, I thought their process was sound, but the shots just weren't falling for them. So where was your head at around all of that stuff?
Yeah, from that coaching perspective, there's a certain amount of, you want your players to be able to do what they can control, what they're capable of, right? You see these guys in practice every day. You watch them every game. You go back and you watch them on film. You know the ups and downs of their game, what they're good at, when they're good and why. And there's a certain amount of, you want to implore them to just do your best at what you can. And so there's a play to start the second overtime. This speaks to the process point, right? That's to me the core of the idea of like what that means to have good process. It's like, be as good as you can be capable of being. And if that's not good enough because the other team was better, like that's going to happen in basketball and life and whatever. But you can lay your head on the pillow at night knowing that you did what you could to impact it the way that you could, right? And so there's a play to start the second overtime, and there were so many possessions like this that it just one of my favorite games of the year. I've been saying that a lot lately, which is fun. But D'Lo had the ball and Bobby Portis got switched out onto him. Top of the key, goes one-on-one, takes a pull-up three, front rims it and misses it. One of the reasons why teams switch, one of the benefits, is that you get your big to contest. We used to do this with AD when he was at the four a ton. He contests the shot and you keep going. And usually who that guard, that player taking the shot is a guard. And therefore, Bobby Portis rim running on D'Angelo Russell and doing it with intent. And Portis was just kicking our ass last night. Like, that's a problem. That's an immediate, like, oh, crap, they're going to score. And D'Lo is fighting for his life. He's not winning, but he's buying time. And then freaking Austin rotates over and drops down and blocks the shot because he read where Portis was going. And then Portis gets it back because, of course, he gets the ball instead of D'Lo or Austin down there, right? And then AD swats that shit. And it was like, in the spirit of doing what you can control, was D'Lo going to win a wrestling match with Bobby Portis? No. But could he just survive for long enough for Austin Reeves to be watching the play and being like, the way that Portis caught this, I know he's going to go to the right-hand jump hook. And so I'm going to anticipate that and swat that because I'm paying attention and anticipating it. There have been so many possessions this year, D, where we've been complaining, right, about the size of the team. And so there's a guy, D'Lo or Austin or a smaller player is on a clear mismatch. Like on a Giannis is like Giannis is against Austin type of thing.
Well, that offensive rebound that Giannis got over Austin was that exact play, right? Like, I can't remember which was at the fourth quarter or OT, but Austin was trying his hardest to box this dude out. And Giannis just jumped right over the top of him and grabbed the offensive rebound. Like, that's the physicality difference. And you're going to lose those sometimes, but you can't not
fight. You have to fight the fight.
Just because
and you might lose. Because yes. That's the thing is that basketball is a volume sport. So, like, if it's the difference between losing 80% of those and losing 65% of those, it's still worth it. Austin had 14 rebounds last night, right? He won several of those. He had several of those sandwich rebounds. There have been in so many possessions this season where there's been a guy on a clear mismatch and the teammate that's right next to him that should be dropping down to help is like watching it. And being like, man, that sucks, dude. Good luck. You know, like there's no commission to like drop down and help your guy. And they did that over and over and over last night. And it's been more and more lately that seeing our defense uptick, because our offense has been just off the charts ever since the lineup change or really the turn of the year. And so just getting to a level of like, hey, we can have good defensive stretches go such a long way. And I did think our defense kept us in that game.
No, it totally did. The defense was the steadier part of the game all night for the Lakers. It was the steadier side of the floor. But in the second half, Pete, the offense started to find some things and the players got into a bit of a groove. And so on the other side of this break, let's get into the offense a little bit and really the push that won the Lakers the game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
But Pete, you talked about D'Lo and the maddening and greatness, the Jekyll and Hyde nature of his game and how he really only needs to see one go in, right? And once one goes in, it's like the lid can get blown off the top of the bucket and then he's just in it. And he's talked about this a bunch this season, and it was very early in the season, or not very early, but he talked about what his superpower is about, like, ever since I was a kid, I can just get hot. The third quarter was that for D'Lo, I thought. And I thought the combination of D'Lo and Austin and their ability to hit shots reset the tenor of the game for the Lakers offensively and allowed them to, I don't know, man, just reestablish the idea that we can score on this team. Remember, when they played on March 8th, it was like a 140-point game. D'Lo hit 9 threes. The Bucks are, they have very good defensive players, but they are not a great defensive team. Doc Rivers has improved them a fair amount by sort of picking the low-hanging fruit that was there for him to clean up. They have some defensive weaknesses. The guards finally getting some shots to go down was huge in a mentality standpoint because their defense had been there for most of the night. And Milwaukee's offense was not playing to the level it could have. Giannis was great. Portis was great. I thought Beasley hit a bunch of timely shots. Dame was only okay. And in some ways, he was bad, actually, just front rimming a lot of jumpers. And so I thought once the offense came around, they really saw a path in order to get back into the game. So talk to me a little bit about D'Lo, maybe some Austin too, but D'Lo especially, because I thought he was critical. The shot started to go for him, and you could tell there was a bit of panic from the Bucks. Like,
yeah,
oh, no,
we saw this.
This dude is on it again.
And no, so Austin's post-game, Mike did the walk-off with Austin, and one of the things that he mentioned, because Mike was asking, like, yo, you just played X amount of minutes, got a back-to-back, and Austin was like, actually, my legs felt heavier at the beginning of the game. This was the Lakers' first game out of the state of California in over a month, and it just took them a while to get going, and once they did, that's why I'm excited about tonight's game. I know it's they played crazy minutes. It seems counterintuitive, like second night of a back-to-back after a double OT game. But I think there's a certain amount of like, you got revved up. I'm juiced about last night's game. I imagine they feel the same way, that the guards and D'Lo especially kind of picked up the pace. There was a snappier nature. He made some plays down the stretch where it was like balls getting deflected and just or poor shot selection. But his shot making really floated us for a while. And I thought a big part of it was just we were all playing faster and he was one of the leaders of that.
The thing I appreciate most about Austin and D'Lo is that there are times where they just understand what's needed on any given play. I thought Austin was especially good at this. The play that stands out to me is when the Lakers run that screen action for the wing and then Austin comes off almost on a curl, right? And normally he's gonna go into that jumper or it'll flow into a pick and roll that's on the side. But
turbo
instead,
booster.
He split it. Yeah, he threw a dribble far out in front of him to split the defense and then got in there for a layup. And I think that cut the lead from maybe 7-5 or 5-3. It was just one of those ones where he was like, I'm going to keep the momentum going here and I'm going to make sure that they feel this pressure. And I thought the guards especially led the way in that regard to sort of say like, no. We're the thing that you don't really have an answer for tonight. Like your perimeter guys cannot guard us, right? AD's got these two big dudes who he has to wrestle with, but we can win our matchups. And they turned the game to me, Austin especially, but D'Lo too was just like, oh man, I'm in it.
You know how I've been talking lately about how LeBron and AD's athleticism has started to pop more. Austin's got more athleticism than he gets credit for. Like when he comes off of that curl, he's able to hit the hole with speed. It's I'm a 49er fan, and Christian McCaffrey, very similar in that it's partly that he's fast and like a way better athlete than he gets credit for, but it's also because he sees it and because he's super decisive. When Austin sees an open lane between two defenders, there is no hesitation on that. Rui is like this too. They've become just wonderful attack the closeout type of players. That's why when you're like, Austin's so good on the second side, in some ways that's a second side action, right? The play is for him, but he starts the play on the other side of the court.
No, totally. And so there were just so many little plays where it's like, are they going to do this? It's funny. I don't know how much people believe in like jinxes or reverse jinxes or things like that, but there are times where the Lakers are losing and I will purposefully start a recap writing about how they lost, right? And so I never start to write. This is one of the things that people may find weird, especially like beat writer people, because beat writer people, they're writing during the game. Basically, or they at least are putting together a skeleton of how they're imagining their piece
right. It's
to
not
go,
starting right? after the final buzzer.
I don't start until after the final buzzer. And so I try and remember what I've watched and I try to explain what I saw. But there are times where I will just like, oh, well, Lakers are losing. I'm going to start writing. Sometimes I do that just because when I start to do that, the game starts to turn in the other direction. It's almost like the basketball gods are saying, you dummy, you're putting in all this
work
right now.
We've seen this so many times, right? Like the Lakers, that's part of the novella, is that we, like, people don't remember. Look, Game 7 of the 2000 Western Conference Finals. So we were up 3-1 in that series. And we remember the lob and all the fun stuff. What we don't remember is just the profound stress. The 3.5 years, the like we got swept, what was it, 3 straight years in the late 90s. And then we were up 3-1. We had this awesome team all year. And then we're up 3-1. And then Portland figures out something. I could go on a whole rant about this, but they figure out how to guard us. And all of a sudden, we're in trouble. And so it's tied at 3. We're down 15 in the late third quarter, or maybe it was even the early fourth. And the level of like just devastated that I was in that moment. And I've seen this so many times, oh, and man. I do it every time where even by that, you know, 19 down in the 8:25 left, I'm definitely like, we came back from a timeout and AD was shooting a free throw, like a technical foul. And I was like, I had no idea how it happened. And that's not really like me because my attention had started to drift in that. Like, anyway, we digress.
No, so I started to write. I have a headline. I'm talking about, you know, back on March 8th, the Lakers got this great performance from their guards against the Bucks. LeBron didn't play and hot shooting night and this, this, that, and the other. But not this night, right? Without LeBron again, the offense sputtered out, right? Like, I had this whole outline. So
that's part of why it was impressive that they were like, no, and Darvin believed, right? And was like, no, you guys got a run in you, is that it would have been very easy for them to pack that in.
So here I am, right? Type. And then, so it's like, oh, okay. Well, what's going on here? I'm just going to keep writing, right? So it's like, oh, 11-point lead. Just going to keep writing. So they got it. And then remember, they got it down. And then Milwaukee scored a couple of buckets. And so it was like the Lakers went on a run and it looked like they were going to dent in. And then Milwaukee got like buckets on 2 out of 3 possessions. And it looked like the game was stabilizing. And I'm just like, oh, see, there's the part where they couldn't get over the hump. But those were the last points Milwaukee scored for the entirety of regulation. So after a bit, I just stopped writing. And I'm just like, are they actually going to do this?
They had been battling. Like they weren't good, but they had been fighting that whole game.
And so 101-101, Pete, going in to overtime. And in fact, let's take a break here because I want to talk about the two overtimes. And then I want to talk about a guy we have not discussed yet to this point, and that's one Anthony Davis.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Pete, the first OT was like chaos to me. There were several times I thought the Lakers were going to win. Like Dinwiddie hits that three. The only basket he makes all game is like the ballsiest shot you could possibly take.
Right. You haven't made a shot. You've been terrible on offense the whole game. And then just pull up three in transition. First lead of the whole game.
So he buries that shot and I'm just like, are they going to win here? And then it's like, of course not, right? The Bucks come back and it was the first OT was that back and forth affair. And then the second OT was like, oh my God, are they going to have to scrape both of these teams off of the floor order to get them to the locker room after the game, right? Both teams just can't get anything. And then Dame gets that steal. So AD's laboring. They go to Rui in the post, and the double team comes, and Rui makes the right read, and he throws it to AD, who should be making that dive cut. But AD's not moving well at all. And so AD makes that cut, but doesn't happen. Ball gets deflected. Or
I think there's two different plays. The one where Dame got the breakaway was off a D'Lo pass.
Oh, that's right. And anyways, Dame gets the layup, but then the next possession, Austin gets his own layup, and then Austin hits the big three to put the team up 3 points. And it was funny. I yelled Austin's name, and my kid came into the room, my oldest, and she's just like, I couldn't tell, was that a good Austin or a bad Austin? I was just like, oh, it was a good Austin, because he buried a crucial three.
Couple of them, yeah.
And then the Lakers go on to win. So we don't need to document all of the little plays, but the thing that stood out to me over both of the overtimes wasn't necessarily like the Lakers' offense at that point. It was still how their defense was anchoring them in. And at the middle of all that was Anthony Davis, Pete. So he had two crucial blocks, the one on the Dame jumper and one on the first OT close when Dame tried to get the layup. But he was amazing on the backboards. He was great at trying to contain Giannis. Giannis didn't do a lot in the fourth quarter or the overtime. And then AD is like lacing 3-point shots and just like doing everything he can within the context of his knee being a little bit bothersome to him. And he's clearly not moving well. What did you see from Davis? Another monster night statistically, even though he didn't shoot it efficiently until the second half.
Yeah, I want to focus on the defensive end because one of the things that I think you're really spot on about with the broader AD conversation is like the deficit model of what he's not. And last night when we were down 19, I'm texting you guys 7 for 24, right? Like it's like AD couldn't. I went back and watched his shots. He was 0 for 6 in ISO situations, right? And so put the offense to the side. We've been having this conversation for a while. I keep making this analogy about like AD has to move the couch. And one of the reasons I use a couch in the metaphor is that moving a couch becomes exponentially easier when there's another person on the other end of it just grabbing the other end of the couch.
That's right.
And so Rui had 14 rebounds last night. Austin had 14 rebounds last night. D'Lo had 7 rebounds last night. Torian Prince was very good off the bench. We haven't talked about him, but he was crucial, I thought, on the defensive end in the coming back from 19. But Austin, I was talking about his athleticism earlier. There were a couple of plays where he bothered shots around the rim because he put his foot in the ground and he jumped really high, or as high as he can, which is not high as I think people think. And so there was just, it's not a ton, but like when AD is wrestling with another one of the basketball gods around the rim, just like another guy to come help a little bit goes so far. And Rui was just wonderful on the boards from the beginning of the game. I thought in that game, I said, ooh, good box out or good rebound, probably more than any other game this season. And through that lens of the AD deficit model, it's like he carries so much of the rebounding burden for this team that we're still bad at it with him, but he keeps us from being catastrophically bad. And if you like, part of how we got stabilized on offense in the first quarter was Jackson came in. We play the two bigs for the last 5 minutes of it. The offense still wasn't pretty, but we got like a couple of putbacks because somebody had to put a body on Jackson too. And so now AD's more freed up. It's just like now Jackson has the other end of the couch. And so there's AD is so tremendous at the things that he is really, really good at that when all he needs is just a little bit of help from the rest of the team for the team to be overall way better at it than they normally are.
Yeah, I just don't want to take him for granted, man, for like all that he's doing. So no LeBron last night, which already tells you everyone else is going to have to do more, but AD is especially going to have to do more. He's going to have to do more as a scorer. And even on the back line, he's going to have to do more defensively and as a rebounder, because even on games where LeBron is not as engaged defensively, he's just another big body out there. And he will swoop in and clean up the defensive glass as well. And so I thought AD looked super discouraged after he took one of those like right wing jumpers and it was like nowhere close. Like Giannis came to contest him a little bit late. AD took it and like he almost banked it in. It was so off and he hung his head. This was like near the end of the third quarter, I think. And then maybe the Bucks might have scored at that point. And then they went up by 14 after like the Lakers had been on a little run and then Milwaukee grabbed the game back. And at that point, I was just like, well, maybe it's time for AD to sit, like, and for everyone to sit. Like, they should just get him out of the game soon. Lakers play again tomorrow, and they're going to need him to be another high energy, like, it's going to be another high energy night the next night, basically, against Memphis. But we talk about the resiliency of the team, and we talk about the overall fight that the team had, and we talked about the guards. I just wanted to say that, like, to me, at the middle of it all, it's actually Amen. Anthony Davis. It's actually AD in there battling with Giannis, battling with Bobby Portis, battling with Brooke Lopez. It's AD continuing to have the confidence to say, you know what, I'm just going to let this jumper fly. And he said it after the game, like D'Lo's telling yes. him, keep shooting, yes. keep shooting. And Damari Carroll, new assistant coach this year, is telling him, keep shooting. If I'm on the bench, believe me, I'd be telling that dude, keep shooting, because AD's a rhythm player, and he started to find a bit of a rhythm there in that second half with his jumper, and the shot started to fall. But his baseline level of defense and rebounding and give a damn
yeah.
around the basket is so yeah. high, Pete, and we just never acknowledge it. It's a thing that's just supposed to happen, and maybe it is. Like, he's a max player, and this is what he's good at, but I just want to appreciate the fact that this dude is truly carrying the couch. And some days he's just putting the whole damn thing across his broad ass shoulders and saying, all right, no one's here to help me. Then I'm just going to pick up this couch, stick it across my back and go up a flight of stairs if I have to, because the elevator's broken today. And so guess what? This is because what the job is.
Right. And I could also see how like having to do that by yourself all the time would get old. And so it's just an interesting ongoing conversation. But yes, he was phenomenal around the rim. Had a great block on Dame to end the first overtime, where it was, I was cracking up because we were in the exact same situation not too long ago in LA, where Dinwiddie blocked his jumper and the play they ran was a speed cut. It was like, it's a cut along the curvature of the 3-point line. And Dame's always been just great at this. And so he comes around that and he's got this great move. He's like a fastball pitcher that can throw 100 miles an hour that has a nasty off-speed pitch too, because he's got, he slows down and starts back up again really well. And so that's just, it's just devastating. And so that's what he did to Dinwiddie, right? He comes off the screen going to his left, and we've seen Dame take that shot so many times and hit it that you have to close out hard to that. And Dame uses that against Dinwiddie and like hesitates and then hits the afterburners again. And AD, as the low man, rotates over and reads it. Like, AD has that, you were talking about the give a damn. He's got that level of anticipation that I was talking about with Austin earlier, or Rui, where they see that hole and hit it. Like, AD knows the next thing that's going to happen on offense from a shot blocker's perspective. So he was there. He got that block, not easily, but he was there for that and cleaned it up because he knew where it was going. So it's this match of elite physical ability with elite IQ and that elite motor that really makes him special.
Yeah, and then you look at his final stat line, and it's just a ridiculous night. Based off of how he shot the ball early in the game, you would have never thought he could have ended this game. I don't care if they went to 7 overtimes, that he would have ended this game with over 30 points, based off of how he was shooting the ball earlier. But he found a way, the team found a way, and it was truly a special win in a season that's had more of these than what you would typically expect any single season to have. And I don't know if you want to hit any other topic, but it's like
I do. I want to talk more AD on offense. I didn't even get to his offense. So
yeah.
I want to make a point about the shot volume. He took 31 shots. D, that ties the most he's taken as a Laker. I only looked at regular season. I didn't check playoff for that, but he's only taken 31 shots one other time. And in our broader discussion about AD, I think you're exactly right that he is a rhythm player. And part of that rhythm is volume. One of the reasons Damari Carroll and D'Lo and his teammates are all like, shoot, is there are times where we do not get AD the ball nearly enough. I totally agree with that. That is a factor. I'm not saying that's not a thing. But more than anything, AD took 8 threes in last night's game. That's twice as many as any other game. Darvin Ham, before the season, was like, I want him to take 6 threes a game. And everyone was like, ha, 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 ha. Well, the year we won the championship, Frank Vogel said the same thing. So there is a collective. I've never heard of all the criticisms that Anthony Davis gets. I've never heard, oh man, AD's shooting too much.
Yeah, he's a ball hog.
He's a ball hog. Pass the ball, dude. Give it up. He's a superstar on a supermax contract. There is a no more empowered individual to shoot the basketball whenever he wants to than AD. And so are there times where like our guards get a wild idea in their head and decide they're going to, I mean, that's part of what we're asking them to do though, because a lot of those wild ideas are great ideas and nothing's going to work out.
That's why they have the contracts that they have. You could argue that AD makes the money that he makes because he's the best defensive player in the world or one of the two or three.
But what I'm saying is like, there is like, who is this contingent? That's like, and what I think it is, this is me speculating, but you were talking about him hanging his head after missing when he is struggling with his shot. It's sort of like that nightmare, you know, you're embarrassing yourself in front of the class type of thing that it's got to factor in to some degree, right?
I think that could possibly be a thing. I also think that there are few superstar players to me, or players who are at AD's level, who are more team-centric in their view about, like, I actually do
but
not
this is
care
what the team
about
needs.
My own
LeBron's
numbers
39.
As much as the
we
team.
We need you to take 25
100%.
Shots. 100%. And if you go, how many great games did we see from Kobe where he was 14 for 31? But everybody else got great looks because of the attention that he drew.
100%. And this is where AD's mentality of being such a team-first player probably goes against him in ways. Because AD is totally happy to say, I'm going to defer to the guards and make it work this way. I also think, too, that a part of him getting the shot volume that he got last night is related to the fact that LeBron didn't play. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there's this whole formula that I think matters, and AD, again, I don't want to psychoanalyze AD too much, but I think that he sees himself as a piece of the puzzle offensively, and what you're advocating for is for him to elevate his own status within the context of the team, and that he needs to do that. He needs to look out for that.
That is being a team player
or more
on this team
than anyone.
Like he's the guy.
Yes, than anyone else.
He's the most unstoppable athlete that we have.
100%. That's totally true. Last thing to end on, and this will be an ongoing discussion, I think, over the course of the rest of this season, but even into the offseason and next season as well, is that was the 10th game LeBron has missed this season, and the Lakers are 6-4
road games
without LeBron. And 8 of those are road games. And it's just something to stick in your back pocket a little bit. No one's saying that the Lakers are better without LeBron James or anything dumb like that. LeBron has had so many big moments already, even this season, and has carried the team to wins in times where, just the way that we're talking about AD right now, LeBron has done that as well, right? And so no one is going to argue that, but I think that team-wide ability to sort of rally around this idea of like, no, we can do this too, has been super prevalent this season, and more than even I've seen in seasons past when LeBron has not been able to play. And so let's close on that idea, and sort of where are you at with how the team has been playing without LeBron?
I think that there's a level of offensive capability in the guys that we have that when you lose a star player, usually the thing that hurts a team the most is they can't create a good shot. But that is something that is D'Lo capable of taking 20 shots instead of 12? Absolutely. Same thing with Austin. Same thing with AD raising his volume. Rui, same thing. And so I think we're more immune to that sort of loss in terms of like, can you still run an offense? And just the level of growth on the offensive end, props to the team, props to the coaches for the level of play that they've gotten the offense to. It wasn't really the story of last night's game, but they've, like that play you described with Austin, they are executing their playbook more and more efficiently. They're running a lot of stacks and spans and just like, it's looking more and more fine-tuned. And so they put in a lot of work on that front that I think that when LeBron is out, that is something that they still have something to fall back on, which is really where you want to be on offense.
Now, that's a great point. They're back at it again tonight, Pete. And this is the stretch of the road trip where it's like you can look too far ahead and say like, oh, the opponents, look at their combined winning records and this, this, that, and the other. But it's go time for this team right now. And nothing personifies that more than the game that they just played last night, but that game is over. And so they banked a win, a double OT win. The last time the Lakers had a six-game road trip, they won a double OT game. AD got a little bit banged up. He missed the next two games and they lost. And so let's not have a repeat of that. And let's have the Lakers get their, what, fifth straight win? And they have not climbed in the standings, but they are playing some of their better basketball they've played all season. And they are finding ways to win. Slugfest win against the 76ers. Race car win against the Pacers. Comeback win against the Bucks. Let's see if they could have a dominant win against a Grizzlies team that is going to be hungry to beat the Lakers, but here's hoping that LeBron, after a night off, can come in and lead the team in a very similar way to what AD, Austin, and D'Lo led the team last night against the Bucks.
Hell yeah, let's go. Great win. Ton of fun. Been a while since we had one of these. We will be back tomorrow to discuss the Memphis game. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound to Vlade. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block. An NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance.
Right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Freddie pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one.
Miss it.
Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!
James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.